Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, October the 5th, 2023, 13 minutes past the hour, 66 degrees and cloudy skies here in the Marion area. And it looks as if yesterday was really the last day of the nice temperatures, those nice 80-degree sunny temperatures that we were having. It looks as if this afternoon, sometime in the afternoon, maybe around 1 or 2 o'clock, we're going to see the rain come in, and then tomorrow we're going to see rain, and it's going to be chilly, and it's going to be cold. And then Saturday, by the time the Ohio State game comes about, on Saturday around noon, it is going to be under 60 degrees. Can you believe that? Now, that is real autumn weather, and it is upon us. So nothing we can really do about it at this point, but that is the way it goes. And again, people, I did want to give people an update on the tomatoes. Tomatoes are doing good. I don't think we're going to have a freeze anytime soon, although it looks as if we could get close to it overnight in the next few days. But I've got the reds and the oranges and the greens, and you know, it looks like a real garden now as we're heading into October. So isn't that nice? Also, don't forget tomorrow on the station, Friday, our big day. Kick it off at 8:15 tomorrow morning with Matt Morgan, 10:15 Pastor Whitaker. Or 9:15 Pastor Whitaker, 10:15 Matt Morgan, 11:15 Pastor Craig, the whole bunch of us together, Pastor Craig, Matt, and myself at 12:15. And then tomorrow night for the Friday Night Live show, 8:15 until 10 p.m., we have got Carrington, Matt, Sean, and myself. So that should be a lot of fun. So we're going to enjoy that. All right. Well, I think we have somebody coming up here momentarily. So stick with us. Live radio here. This is going to be an enjoyable... it's an enjoyable thing we do each and every week, but we're going to do it today for a particular reason, and everything should turn out fine momentarily. All right, 16 minutes past the hour, October 5th, 2023. Again, 66 degrees and cloudy skies here in the Marion area. Moving right along on this Thursday. You know, that was a very interesting story that we heard before the break there from Sarah. Using the digital coupons at the Dollar General store, buying all those items, the cat food, the toilet paper, the diet soda, and getting it all for under 20 cents. Now, does it get any better than that when you are out shopping in these hard economic times? Those digital coupons can work for you. If you know how to use them or know somebody who knows how to use them and can get involved in those point systems, they can really work to your advantage. Really, really positively. All right, let me see if I can get our guest here on the line. 17 minutes past the hour on this Thursday morning. Should be able to. Let's see. little phone dialing here. Well, maybe momentarily they'll join us. But I do want to remind everybody, ways you can listen to WGH Talk. You can download the TuneIn app, which I'm sure a lot of people are listening on right now. Oh, wait, I think this might be our caller here. Yes, it is. As we go along this morning, I do want to remind everybody that every Friday morning from 9:15 until 10 a.m., we're joined by Pastor Steve Whitaker for Over the Back Fence. It's a great show. We really enjoy doing it every Friday. But this coming Friday, tomorrow, Pastor Whitaker has been called out of town for a family issue. He'll be in Michigan. But very kindly, he has agreed to join us this morning. And we're going to do the show this morning, and we'll replay it tomorrow morning in the 9:15 time slot, and it will repeat on Sunday morning at 8:15 and Wednesday and Thursday afternoon at 3:15. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you, Scott?
Doing good.
Kind of anxious to get a few things done before I take off. It's a going clear up by the edge of Lake Superior, and so it's going to be a pretty good drive. I'm going to go with my daughter, and so I can... Shirley's going to stay home and keep the home fires burning. How's that?
That's awful nice of her.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be on here today. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. I tell you, we've had a pretty good week. Team Kid started this week, and we had a huge turnout for Team Kid on Tuesday night. That'll also be again in the third Tuesday of the month at 6:30 here in Prospect. And then we have... we had Peace with the Pastor, had a whole new group come in. Those are the teenagers that I meet with on the same night as Team Kid. And we just talk about current things and issues and let them, you know, we talk about things with school and whatever's on their mind and try to do that certainly from a biblical perspective. I had initiated a bunch of new sixth graders the other night. And boy, I'll tell you, the energy level is certainly there when they're in sixth grade. So I kind of had to set some ground rules. When I'm talking, no one else talks. When they're talking, no one else talks. That was a good time. But anyway, if you're interested in either one of those programs, please call us at 740-494-2222. And it's great to be here, Scott.
Yeah, good to be with you. You know, it is interesting. When you're that age, when you are elementary school, just starting middle school, you have a lot of energy, and you're not trying to be rude or anything like that. You just are having a good time.
It's kind of one of those things, you have to be a special teacher at that age, because that is definitely in an age where this weird little thing called testosterone and hormones can start to become active, and boys become very... almost obnoxious sometimes, and you know, girls, it's just, the whole dynamic's kind of fun to watch in a way, but, you know, they're always trying to outdo the other one, and who can get the most attention, and there's nothing wrong with the kids, I mean, that's what they do at that age, and they all do it, it's not just, I mean, by and large, they all do it, so you've got all these people vying for the same attention, and to outdo the other one. And you really got to be able to handle and keep it under control without making the kids think that you're mean. But you've been aware of that. You've worked in the school long enough.
Oh, yeah, you do. And you just, I've always found, much like you said earlier, the best way to do this is you just talk to them like normal people. You don't talk down to them. You don't talk to them in baby voice or anything like that. You just tell them what's going on, and they pick right up on that.
Yep, and I just tell them, you know, hey, look, this is the way it's going to be, and everyone's going to have a good time, but the only way we're going to have a good time is if we do it this way. And for the next hour, I'm in charge.
Yep, there you go.
Anyway, it worked out pretty good. I love kids. They're great. It's great to watch them grow up. There's so many neat kids out there that just do fun and exciting things, and it's kind of funny. You know, last year I had a girl that she was one of the youngest ones in the group. In that particular group, because I had a lot of seniors. And anyway, she kind of felt out of place. Well, last night she was one of the, or the other night, Tuesday night, she was one of the older girls because so many of them graduated. And it was nice to see her step into that role of it was just different to see. She helped out with Bible school this year, and that really helped her a lot, too. But it's nice to see those kids grow up. We have some great kids out there. We truly do.
You know, the march of time continues on. That's one thing I think we all have to be aware of, is that everything is constantly changing.
Absolutely. You know, last week we started a subject, and I kind of wanted to roll on with it a little bit this week. We were talking about the human trafficking issue. And I don't know how many people are really aware of this, but you know that young lady, you remember it's been a couple months ago, they found her shot in one of the alleys in Marion. She was in her early 20s, I think. Not very old at all, but anyway, that girl was actually a victim of sex trafficking that had been rescued. But unfortunately, what these dastardly people do, and I said that with a D, by the way, they get these people hooked on drugs. That's how they control them. And even though this girl was rescued, she could never get away from the drugs, and which is common. You know how it is with opioids. And she was shot by the person she was trying to buy drugs from. And how sad is that? But, you know, you can get rescued, but you still have all this baggage hanging over you. So I think one of the best ways to avoid all this is to figure out a way to protect our children.
You know, I think that's interesting, because I think that applies to a lot of issues in life as well, is that everybody brings some baggage to, let's say, their party. If you meet somebody, nobody is a blank slate in life. And I think in this particular girl's case, it ended horribly, unfortunately. But clearly, I don't know what the situation was in her life, if her family was still involved or what was going on. But baggage is there. Most everybody's got some in some way, and nobody's perfect.
Yeah, I read an article several years ago. It was in the Columbus Dispatch, about a girl from Hilliard that had graduated from high school, and she moved to Columbus with a friend. They were just going to strike out and do whatever, you know, start a life, get jobs and whatnot. And anyway, this girl, after a couple weeks, her family just stopped hearing from her. Well, she had been drugged and pulled into sex trafficking, and for the next year and a half, she was literally living in a car and being traded for sex and used, given drugs to keep her going, you know, keep her dependent, keep her from leaving. And all of the sex trafficking was literally done out of a vehicle by the person that was controlling her. But anyway, this article went on to, once she was finally found and brought out of this, and it was through some kind of a bust that they found her and found who she was and whatnot. You know, the sad thing was that, you know, her family who missed her so terribly, she had so many problems from that and couldn't shake the drugs. I think last I heard, you know, in the article, I think she was in rehab maybe, but she, you know, the family had gotten to the point where as much as they missed this daughter and wanted her back, it was such a struggle once they got her back because she just wasn't the same person. And I just think the importance and the gravity of this with our young people, I want to urge parents, any guardians of a child, or even if you're not the guardian but you're aware, keep your eyes wide open, where they go, who they're spending time with, because it can happen so fast. I shared last week that we had 85,000 kids missing that came over the border in the last year and a half. That's an honest figure. You know, that's a figure that was testified before the Senate. And, you know, and they're not all in the sex trade. Some, I'm sure, are probably in slave labor, too. But how sad is this in the day and age in which we call ourselves civilized that you can cross the border into America and disappear that easily and be pulled into those situations when you're being supposedly brought in and taken care of and rehomed by the government and finding a place for you? How do we let this happen? And why, for knowing that how horrible that type of slavery is and what they do, it's worse than it. It's probably worse than what we've ever seen, even in the times of our own downtrodden and down time as being a slave nation. Why are we not focusing more on saying enough of this and really putting the effort towards this? You know, I feel so bad for our police officers. I talked to one recently that they're doing all they can, but you know, they can only do so much. And you know, their resources are tied, their hands are tied, they don't have enough staff. You know, I will say that the courts are starting to get a lot more strict with people that do things involving minors. Even if I know that if somebody is on a computer and they're pulling up images of young children, you get time for that now. They don't just slap you on the wrist even on a first offense. I know of cases where people have been arrested on a first offense of that, and they don't play around. They're giving you time for it, and they should. And you know, leave our kids alone, for crying out loud. Once you're an adult, you make decisions based on what you want to do. Yes, you can be coerced. It can be. The whole situation's sad. But when it comes to our children, we need to be there for them, don't you think, Scott?
Well, I think so, and I think that's a big problem with a lot of people, because I know we've talked about this in the past, but a lot of times, single parents especially, but I don't want to lay this all on single parents, they get busy doing their own thing, trying to make themselves happy, and they don't concentrate a whole lot on their kids because they're trying desperately to make themselves happy.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Scott. I've learned over the years, and I've always known it because I was taught it, but I think learning is different than knowing. Would you agree?
I would say.
You can know something, but you've never internalized it. One thing I've internalized to understand and to know is that when you have children, when you get married, have children, when you start that life out, your priorities are supposed to change. You now have made a commitment to a child brought into the world that at least for the next 18 years you are responsible for. And, you know, we say we love our kids and these kind of things, but then do we really love them? And of course, I believe we do, but we get caught up in our own stuff. And honestly, the care and welfare of them are far more important than anything else. One thing that we do today that I find interesting is that when I grew up as a kid, and most kids could probably say this, unless they came from a family where there weren't a lot of other siblings, so there were a lot of resources there, but I can tell you the two times I had a birthday party in my life. Actually, I'd be lying. I only had one. I had a birthday party when I turned 18. I had my 18th birthday party, and it was just a small family affair. But my parents recognized that was our special day on our birthday, and we could tell, you know, we could have pretty much on a list, of course, of what we wanted that night for dinner. Didn't mean it was something special, but it was something that was our favorite that we normally ate during the week. And we would get a gift, and Mom would bake a cake, and it was our special day. It was great. But today, you know, you see these lavish birthday parties with kids that just, you know, the whole world's invited, money spent, and gifts coming in and all this. But then when it comes to the actual care and daily care of what's actually going to build character in the children and protect them and help them to grow into the people they need to be, it's like, oh, well, we'll just have a, you know, we'll just buy them something, or we'll just... And I don't mean to tar everyone with the same brush, but I'd like to see a lot less birthday parties and a lot more one-on-one with Mom and Dad.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what most people need, is they need that one-on-one time. And I've even heard single parents realize that they felt that they were neglecting their kid and that they needed to spend more time with them and things of that nature. And I understand that, but a lot of times... they'll be there, but they're not in the same room. They're not talking to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Even when we get involved a lot of times we get involved in our kids' activities. Just because you're involved in an activity with them doesn't mean that you still don't need that one-on-one time with them. If the activity, they're with their friends, and you're in the stands with your friends. you may be rooting them on, but there's no real conversation there. And we need, kids need to know, one, that we're going to listen. A lot of times kids are afraid to come to mom and dad because mom and dad are just going to chew them out. Well, sometimes we need corrected, right? Of course we do. But at the same time, mom and dad, you need to listen and hear what they're really saying. And we have to be strong enough to have enough backbone to put our foot down. I think what I see with a lot of parents today, especially being the fact that we have so many divided families, so many families where there's multiple parents involved because of divorce or whatever the case is, parents sometimes seem to be more concerned with the child liking them than they do what they're doing to make the child disciplined. You know, the Bible tells us that who the Lord loves, he disciplines. And that follows suit through the family. Who we love, we need to discipline. And discipline shows love. And when I say the word discipline, I'm not talking about, don't let everyone jump and say that I'm just talking about corporal punishment, because I'm not. I'm talking about discipline means to set up boundaries. That's what it means. It's to set boundaries. And there's consequences if you go out of the boundaries. And the discipline is kind of like, I remember one time I was driving back from New York when I was very young and just driving. And they'd had so much snow, Scott, that the snow plows had been going and going and going on each side of the road. It must have been 4 feet high and just a solid wall. And I just kind of chuckled to myself. I thought, well, if I go off the road here, it'll just kind of be like one of those bobsled things, you know, like you have in the Olympics. I'll just bounce into the inside. You know, that's kind of like discipline. We need to have those barriers on the side that'll bounce us back into the middle. And it's so important for parents to keep those. Don't worry about whether your kids are going to like you or not. You do what you need to do. You show them love. And one thing that I've seen over the years is the kids that their parents do that, they grow up to love their parents, and they understand. The kids that are given anything they want just continue to want more and despise their parents. It's just so common. There was a little girl one time that I had with the pizza with Pastor years ago when I was first starting this. It was probably 10 years ago, I suppose. But anyway, she was telling us one night in the meeting that a friend of hers said, it must be nice to have your, she was being raised by her grandma, and she said, it must be nice to have your grandma as a parent. She said, what do you mean? She said, well, your grandma loves you. She said, what do you mean? How do you know my grandma loves me? She said, because you get in trouble all the time, and my mom and dad don't even care what I do. And, wow, you know, what kid ever hears someone say your parents must love you because you get in trouble all the time? And what she meant by that was, you know, your grandma thinks enough of you that she's going to make sure you're doing what's right. And this little girl, even in school, they were in like 10th grade at the time, 9th grade, 10th grade, she recognized that. And this was the little girl that basically did whatever she wanted to do. So kids recognize that there is love involved there.
You know what's interesting? When you ask most people how they would like to be remembered, they will tell you, a good and loving parent if they have kids. They want to be remembered well by their family. But yet, when they're crafting that relationship, a lot of times you see that wanting to be friends, you see that really no parental figure there that is dealing with behavior issues. And a lot of times, it's almost like a sister or brother relationship with the parent, and that's a little strange.
It's very strange because I see moms trying to dress like their daughters, dads trying to be cool like their sons. I mean, we've always had a bit of that, but it's kind of, I had to laugh. I was listening to a tape, a cassette tape, that the pastor I grew up under, and this was after I was grown up, they had a tape ministry, and it was one of his messages from back in like 1985, so this has been a ways back even then. And he said, he was talking about needing mentors, and he said, you know, we need grandmothers. He said, what happened to our grandmothers? He said, a few years ago we had grandmothers. He said, now I look out there and all I see is a bunch of old ladies trying to look like they're 18 years old. And he was just, of course, being kind of sarcastic. But he wasn't too far off the mark either. And I guess what he's getting to that is there's it's important that young people see growth and maturity in the people older than them, because that's something they can understand and recognize as they get older. Some of the people that had the greatest impact in my life probably never knew it. They were older people that I knew, that I respected them. I respected how they handled things, the kind of people they were, the caring people they were. And I could see that. I mean, we may not even talk about or recognize it as we're growing up, but we still see it and we know it. And so many times today, we're so busy trying to stay young that we don't understand that with maturity comes stability. And, you know, if we want our kids to be stable, you and I have talked about this several times about these kids not seeming to have any hope today, like they can't get past things. You know, they're willing to end it right now so easily because, oh, what's the use? And it's just such a bizarre thing, because growing up in an era in which we did, when they didn't even have a teen suicide rate, because it was just so unheard of. I mean, kids look forward to growing up and being adults. And now it's just, my word, in every small town you know of. But here's the thing, when kids look at the adults and they say, what do I have to look forward to? My mom and dad are a mess. They're always fighting. Look how bad it is for mom and dad. Dad's in jail or mom's in jail, or dad and mom, you know, we have all this money, but I never see mom and dad. You know, they're out doing their thing with their friends, and I'm lonely at home. And these kids start looking at that, and their hope goes right out the window. We've stopped taking kids to church for the most part in this country, which is someplace they learn self-worth, because they know that God loves them very much and that God designed them for a reason. They learn that there is hope in God. No matter what happens, God can be there for them all the time. I'll be honest, that's one of the things, Scott, that kept me somewhat on a sane track when I was young. I went through a pretty rebellious time as a young adult, and even when things got really bad, and at times they did, I knew that God cared about me and that things were going to eventually be okay. They'd be fine. It might be really bad now, but I knew that, and I went through some real tough times mentally, but I still had that to hang on to. And the sad thing is with kids today is they're not seeing that thing to hang on to. Not only do they not even know anything about God to speak of, other than his name being used in an expletive, but they, at the same time, even if they do, even if they're brought up in church, if they have a family that is not grounded, is not growing at a mature level, is always looking for their own external circumstances to make them feel better, and then things fall apart, and they, you know, you have the divorce, you have the fighting, you have the all that. You know, the kids look at mom and dad and say, "What's the use in being an adult? They're more unhappy than I am." And I guess what I'm getting at, now that I've shot all these ugly negatives out there, is there is a positive. We can decide today that's not what we're going to do. We can decide that, you look, until my kids are grown, I've got a job to do. And I need to, and if you stay right that long, you're going to be fine afterwards. Several years ago, a friend called me. He had gotten a divorce, and it was kind of ugly between him and his wife. But he had his two boys, and he had them the primary most of the time. And they were in school, and he called me one day and said, "Steve, I need to really talk to you." And I went over, and he says, he got a call from the school. His son was intentionally injuring himself at school. And he goes, "How did my son end up here?" He said, "You know, what's going on with my boys? I'm losing them." And I said, "Well, to be honest with you, buddy," I said, "you got two boys right now. One was like probably the time, one was 12 and one was 14. And I said, "You have spent the last couple years doing nothing but chasing skirts. That's all you do. You feed your boys, you take care of them, and you chase women. I said, these boys just lost their mom and their dad in a divorce, at least them as a family, as they knew it. And I said, your boys need you, and you're too busy chasing women. I said, he says, yeah, he never thought about what he didn't even think about what he was doing. And I said, look, I want to give you a challenge. I said, you've got 4 to 5 years ahead of you with these boys. They're going to be extremely important. I said, put the women on the back burner. You're still only in your 30s. I said, they're going to be there. They're not going anywhere. Well, you get these boys raised. All those women are still going to be there if you want to date or whatever. And I said, I'm not saying you can't date someone once in a while, but make those two boys your priority in raising them for the next 4 or 5 years. And I said, one of two things is going to happen. Either at the end of that time, you're going to be thrilled with the boys that you've raised, or at the end of that time, you're going to be heartbroken and think, what did I do? Because they're going to be a mess. You know, he took that message to heart, and he got really involved with Boy Scouts, got his boys involved in it, and a lot of other things. And, you know, he ended up raising two fine young men. And when it was all said and done, when they were all raised and out of the house, guess what happened? He found a nice woman and settled down. And the point is, it's not that hard. You just have to make a decision to do it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I always look at the people who do have that revolving door. If you have kids and you have this revolving door of men and or women constantly in your life, I mean, you can be the nicest person in the world and you can be a parent who is there for your kid. But if you've got that revolving door, you are setting a weird example for your children by
absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of times those people who are revolving in and out of that door are not nice to your kids. You might
absolutely
be nice to your kids, but they might not be.
There are some you want to give your kids open to a form to different forms of child abuse. I have talked to more people over the years that have been molested by the boyfriend or the girlfriend. Yes, I said girlfriend of one of their parents than anyone else. And you know, parents, you owe it to your kids. You've got to put them first. You know, another thing that we do, Scott, I think, is we don't keep an eye on our kids and where they're going and who they're with. I remember several years ago there was a man that had some kids in school with some kids, grandkids I had. And everyone thought he was the nicest man. He was a single parent, real friendly and outgoing, and everyone just loved this guy. And so when any of the kids wanted to go over to his house with his daughter, they were, yeah, you can spend the night. Well, one day there was a horrible drug overdose at his house and somebody died. And here come to find out, this guy had been dealing heroin. And these people were sending their kids over there to spend the night with the daughter on a regular basis. And they were just shocked. It's important, parents, that you know as much as you can. And the other thing that's important, too, I think, Scott, is that when you're, not only are they safe at someone's house, but you have an agreement with those parents that they contact you if any red flags go up. And the other thing is that those parents share your values. Because if they don't share your values, they're going to have a great, especially if your kids are spending a lot of time there, that influence can begin to override the influence you have. I shared with the kids the other night at Peace with Pastor. We talked about accountability and what that word means, accountability partners, accountability friends. And I was explaining to these kids that a true friend will also be an accountability partner. You don't just go along with what your friends do so they'll like you or you'll like them, that kind of a thing. But I said, if they're truly a friend of yours, and you see them doing some behavior that's not good or going to get them in trouble or being with the wrong people or going down the wrong road, and you think that you're going to be a friend by keeping it quiet, that's not a friend. That's a selfish friend. I said, you know, you tell that friend, you know, this is wrong. You really shouldn't be doing it. And let them know up front. Just let them know. Don't even pull any punches. if you're going to continue in this, I'm going to have to let somebody know that can step in like your parents or a teacher. And, you know, I said, what kind of kid is that? You know, is that, it's a rat, you know. I said, no, it's not a rat. I said, that's a true friend. I said, the rat is the one that would rather have you like them and watch you go down a bad path that's going to injure or hurt yourself. And by the time we got done talking, the kids were really grasping what I was saying. And so we can't be afraid of these conversations. And we have to watch out where our kids are at. Please, please, mom and dads, don't let your kids take on their little 16-inch bicycle when they're 4 years old to ride in the swimming pool. You know, everything's fine and dandy until something happens, right?
That's
then
right.
It happens, and you think, oh no, you can't reel it back. It's already happened. So it's important that we do that. Pay attention to babysitters that you're using. You know, mom and dads are so frantic for babysitters right now sometimes, finding one because they've got to be at work, that they don't vet them properly. Vet them properly.
You know what's interesting?
You don't want to talk, Scott. I better let you talk.
No. You know what's interesting about this is I do believe that when you're around a lot of people in your life, you really deep down do know who the good people are and who the people who are a little suspect are. And
oh,
I think
you see it. You see it.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that, you know, everybody has falling outs and everybody doesn't get along all the time. But I think people should make an effort to make amends or be civil with the people who, you know, maybe you don't get along with them all the time, but you know deep down that they are a good person. Because why would you want to excommunicate that person from your life? Again, you may not see eye to eye on everything, but if they're a good person, this is few and far between these days.
But I will tell you, if they're a bad person, you need to make that divide.
Absolutely.
But if they're a good person, absolutely. You know, don't cut off contact with somebody because their little girl made the cheerleading squad and yours didn't. You know, you see what I mean? And, you know, they can be a wonderful family, and you just don't do that kind of thing. It's an interesting time we live in. There's plenty of good things. It's just like the, you know, Team Kids for Christ that we do every other Tuesday during a school year. Here in Prospect, you know, those kids have a ball. And, you know, we had like 30-some kids last week. And that was our first week to kick it off. And how wonderful that is that parents can bring their little kids and know they're safe and they have a good time. And they know that one thing that we do, too, is like with our Trail Life program, which is basically a faith-based Boy Scouts, that parent organization vets people so heavily. And you have to take a course. And the course really opened my eyes as to how many sexual predators there are out there. Do you know that there's only 20% of them that even get caught? And the ones that do get caught usually have committed some act with a child like up to 30 times before they're ever, because see, they don't get caught till it's reported, and they're masters at not getting caught and scaring kids into not talking. And then here's the other problem. I don't know how that we get around this either, Scott, is that, you know, if somebody, and this is a problem, they're not on the radar until they get caught, until someone turns them in. I recently know of someone that just got in trouble very recently that was caught doing something, not in our church or anywhere like that, but in Marion, and they lost their job over it. And it had to do with sexual exploitation. But this person had already been let go from two places for the same thing, but the places didn't file charges, didn't follow up on it, so this guy was completely off the radar. And it's up to the people, you know, nobody wants to make waves. It's a lot easier to just say, hey, you're fired, hit the road. But look, when it comes to children, this person needs stopped because it won't stop until someone stops them.
You always have to make those reports because you never know where the person's going to go next.
And right now, the person is currently working in a place in Marion where they have access to people 20 the whole time they're at work. all ages of people. So it's probably a little more difficult where they're at now because there's no place to hide. But the point is, it's this is an epidemic. It's not just a you hear about it here and there. This is truly, truly an epidemic. And I think that it's something that I really wish, Scott, maybe you have some ideas. We'll talk about this further down the road. Excuse me. I wish we could get a Marion Association for Child Exploitation group started, that we actually could do some things and put some teeth into this to where we could help parents and police and people in the community to have some answers and to draw up plans and to work with some of the politicians and some of the law enforcement on ways to protect our children. We need to do this across the country. We need to put, it's great. It's like the Bible talks about the person that talks about all these great things and doesn't do anything. It's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. As soon as the sound goes away, everything else does. Well, it's the same thing with a lot of people who will not put feet to their mouth. What I mean by that, not a foot in the mouth, but if you're going to go out and say it, let's put those feet in action and make something happen, too. It's real easy to just to say, oh, I hate this, or I'm against that, or this is horrible, or talk about it, and we appease our conscience by doing that. But if you don't put actions behind that, what's the point? I mean, we have to put this stuff into action. So I'm putting a challenge out there to people. Get a hold of me. Let's see what we can get done.
You know what's interesting? We have about 6 minutes left here, and last night I was with a group of people, and there was a study that came out this week that the things that parents say to their kids, verbal abuse, can be as bad as physical abuse. And we were having this conversation about this, and is it true, and do we believe it? And one of the girls I was with spoke up and said that when she was young, she's in her 20s now, that when she was young, her mother one day offhandedly, not trying to purposely be rude, made a comment that her hair did not look good up. Wearing her hair up did not look good. And to this day, she says she does not wear her hair up unless she's playing sports or something because of that comment. Because it came from mom, somebody who she revered. And I'm sure mom wasn't trying to do any damage, but...
No, and I mean, what mom said was probably very innocent. You know, hey, look, I don't really like your hair. I don't think it looks that good. Well, and the girl, you know, evidently that's something she remembered and took to heart. I think the things that concerns me more than that is the things that I hear constantly on ball fields and in grocery stores and on the street when they call them a stupid little effer, or I'm going to beat your F&A, or I hear this stuff constantly. And you worthless little a-hole, you know, have you heard of Scott?
You hear it all the time. And the interesting thing is, even when they're not addressing the child, when they do it in front of the child to somebody else, I mean, you're the parent. You're saying, this is okay. This is how I talk to people.
Let me tell you something that happened last week. And that hits the nail right on the head with what you just said. I was at a football game, okay? And I'm on the sidelines, and there's a couple parents up there in the stands, and they're being about as rude can be. You get that sometimes. Mouthing refs, saying foul language, doing these kind of things. And there's two boys standing on the sideline, and they say, hey, did you hear my uncle? Listen to what he said to that ref, and they're laughing. They're condoning that to their children and telling them that behavior is okay for them to do. And the kids thought it was cool. I didn't think it was cool. No one else in the stands thought it was cool. But, you know, they heard their parents say it, and they thought it was cool. So how are they going to act towards people?
That's right. Leading by example. And a lot of times there will be parents who will say, I never speak to my child that way. And they probably don't. But what you do in front of other people does matter. It's not, you know, what was the old saying, do as I say, not as I do? Well, that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. Kids are far more inquisitive, and they pay a lot more attention than we ever believe. You know, how many times have kids said to me when I was in school, my dad and mom are nothing but hypocrites, and then they'll go on to tell you about, they did this, blah, that, the other, you know. And kids recognize that stuff now, Everyone's going to be a hypocrite to a point. None of us do exactly what we wish we were doing. But if you're living that constant life, I'll give you a great example right off the bat is Anne Heche. Anne Heche was brought up in a home that was very strict and very church-going, but it was totally 100% hypocritical. It was one thing at church and a flip opposite at home. And it messed those kids up. It messed the whole family up. And you can't be that way. You got to be who you say you are.
Yeah, you got to walk the walk and talk the talk. Leading by example is far more valuable, I think, than telling somebody. Because if you tell somebody to do something and you never do it yourself, they never see an example of anybody doing what you're talking about. Kids are tabula rasa. They're blank slates to a certain degree.
Hey, if you got to tell somebody how good of a person you are, you're probably not.
That's right. When you go around saying, you know, how many times has we got about a minute and a half? How many times has a parent said these words? You know, I do the best I can. I just don't know how this happened. Well, take a deep look.
Take a deeper look. Maybe they don't know how to happen, because there are those cases where you really do the best you can and you do well, but not every kid is going to respond as they should.
No. No.
And that does happen. But like you just said, that was a good point, Scott. Take a good look at whether you're really doing the best you can. And I just want to challenge parents out there. Look, you had the kids, and for the period of time that they're in your care, that's exactly what they are. Scripture tells us to raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. That's very telling. You know, it's raise them. Don't just feed them. Don't just give them. Raise them. And that's what you have to do. And it's work, and it's a chore. Sometimes it's ugly, and sometimes it's hard. But if you pay attention to it now, it's going to be rewarding in the end.
I think you're right. Pastor, we're out of time. Stay well, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons in 227.